this Christmas, we're starting a new series that we're entitling Honoring King Jesus. And here's the whole premise of the series, is what started as a cradle, he ended up becoming the conquering king. And he didn't stay in a cradle. Come on, somebody. And the world tries to keep him baby Jesus, but he's not baby Jesus. Okay, he is a conquering king. And that conquering king, when he was born, split history in half. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, it's not BCE, it's BC, before Christ, and then the year of the Lord. And every time you write the date, guess what you're writing? 2022 years ago, since Jesus came upon this earth, come on somebody, and split history in half. Someone say amen. And Christmas is a time of honoring King Jesus, because here's the truth. Every one of us in this room has a BC before Christ came into your life. Come on. Before Christ came in your life. And we don't want to know BC you. We want to know the year of the Lord you. And this is why I get fired up about Christmas. Because God came when I couldn't save myself. He came and saved me. And I get to celebrate who he is. That's right. So this month we're going to be looking at that. Honoring King Jesus. And so I'm really excited about it. So grab your Bibles and get the message, y'all. And when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper. It's the points to the service as well as the message as well as the verse we're reading together. And we're going to jump into this right here. And go with me to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 10 and verse 11. And what we're about to read is the very first Christmas. Say the first Christmas. This was the Christmas scene, I guess you could say, the nativity scene. I'm sure all of you seen the nativity scene, and here's what took place. But I want to focus on what happened during this Christmas time, I guess the birth of Jesus, right? And why we celebrate Christmas. And I know we've made a lot of it, but we don't want to lose focus of what the true meaning of Christmas is. Here the Bible says this, it says, when they saw the star, speaking of the three magi, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. How much joy? Great joy, right? Exceeding great joy. Verse 11, it says, and when they had come into the house, someone say Freedom House. Come on, somebody, right? I came into the house. The Bible says they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And then the scripture says, and they fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped him. I want you to notice that at Christmas, one of the very, corresponding responses was worship. And that's one of the greatest things you can do in Christmas, is say, I'm going to go worship King Jesus. Amen. And it says, and when they had opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At the first Christmas, the first gifts were given to Jesus. And I know today we give gifts to each other, and that's great, buy gifts for each other. But the first Christmas, it was about bringing gifts to Jesus. And I love this because the backdrop of the first Christmas is honor. They worshiped and they gave. There was an honor about who Jesus was. And I want to talk this month about honoring King Jesus in a message I've entitled today, The Heart of Christmas. The Heart of Christmas. And I really pray that it speaks to us. So bow your head and let's pray, and let's just ask God to focus us for his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. And God, we just come before you. We didn't come to church to hear the word of man. We came to hear the word of God. And Father, I'm asking you that this Christmas you would speak to us, and that we would really find the true heart of Christmas, the meaning. Because the truth is, and I mean this to all of our church family watching online, every campus, you will not find your healing at any mall, any present. It's not on Amazon. It's only finding Jesus. And so, Father, this Christmas, let us find you. Let us not get caught up, lost in all the thrills and frills that surround it, but let us find you. God, we want to honor King Jesus. Teach us, Lord, that we may encounter you, and help us, Father, to find out how you came to heal us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated, and just turn to the person next to you and tell them, Jesus is the centerpiece of Christmas. Now let's say, Jesus is the centerpiece of Christmas. I want to talk today and the next coming weeks about this principle of honor and honoring King Jesus, and how it is a really the backdrop of the first Christmas story of these three magi coming and worshiping him, but really this principle of honor. Because here's the reality. Something powerful will happen in your life between you and God when God senses honor from you to him. When you begin to honor God, it gets God's attention. When you, like, for real are like, God, I'm going to honor you. It creates an aroma, a fragrance. It's like a bouquet of honor when you bring to God through your actions, your words, and your affections, and you just begin to honor God. God's attention is focused on your life, because honor is really the principle of heaven, right? Everyone honors God in heaven. And it's also the subject matter of the first Christmas. Was it was wrapped in honor, that everyone was focused on who Jesus was. It was just locked in that this time is not about me or my Christmas list. I'm gonna smile when I say it because y'all get mad at me. It's not about my party or my decorations. It was about the Savior that had come. It was about the message that God was sending to us, because Jesus is the Word wrapped in flesh. That's a little deep, okay? You want to go deeper, get into Bible college, shameless plug. But he's the Word wrapped in flesh. And so there was a message God was sending to us that he was trying to bring to us that was much bigger than the newest gift you're going to get. Because he came as a Savior to us that needed him. But it was wrapped in honor. And I really want to talk about this subject of honor, honoring God, and this principle of honor. That's one of our core values at our church, is excellence, honor, commitment. But being people of honor, and I think it's really important, because if we're honest, especially us parents, we know that our culture celebrates dishonor. Yeah. Limited culture that, you know, the more disrespectful you are, the more attention you get. Bah! You know, it's like, and it's we celebrate it, and we're fed a constant diet of dishonor. Through movies and television and music out there. And there's just a diet of dishonor that gets fed. And it's fed in America and unfortunately fed into our schools. And it's very sad, because then it creeps into the church. Come on, somebody. Ooh, it's getting real quiet in here. Come on now. And we need to redeem this heavenly principle that really was, it was the aroma of the first Christmas, but it's really the aroma of heaven, and it really should be the aroma of God's people, is honor. Honor is so valuable. It's valuable in your family. It's valuable in your marriage. It's valuable in your relationships, and it certainly is valuable towards God, is having this principle of honor. And so in the verses we just read here, we find that the three magi, they come to the scene. And when they get to the scene, they come, and they are actually following a prophecy that is found in Micah. We'll read it later. But they're coming to find out who this king that would be born, King Jesus. And when they get there, their response to it is so powerful. And I want to read it here and look at the verses, because I don't want to assume that everybody knows, everybody knows the Christmas story, because it is, unfortunately for us, we are one of the most biblically illiterate generations in American history. And we need to teach the word. Come on, somebody. Come on, say the word. Come on, somebody, the word, right? And I want to read it here, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, because we're going to see, it says, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and his mother, Mary, and they fell down, and what did they do? They worshiped him. And the Bible was saying they worshiped. And this is so important, because at the first Christmas, you see Jesus, and this is the nativity scene, right, where you have Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I'm sure you see a nativity scene. There's little sheep and camels. I'm not sure there's camels and sheep there, but whatever. You can put them anyway. But, you know, you see all that stuff there. And this was the first Christmas scene. Again, I don't want to assume, because what you don't see at the first Christmas, you don't see reindeer. I got to talk real. Wasn't little elves? There wasn't a big guy with a red suit and a big beard. Come on, somebody. Jesus was at the first Christmas. Now, this is so important. Listen, I'm not one of those haters. Don't do all that. But I just want to know, do your kids know more about Jesus than Santa? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Like, who are kids waiting for on Christmas morning? Are they looking at the chimney? Or are they saying, no, Christmas wasn't about someone coming down a chimney with a gift. Christmas was about Jesus being the gift and coming to be the Savior of the world. Come on, talk to me, church. Come on, somebody. This is so important. So important, because what happens is we get distracted and we don't realize that we actually become the people of dishonor. You say, well, how so? How am I dishonoring during Christmas? Dishonor is not to disrespect. Dishonor is to treat as common, not as important. That's deep right there. I just give you something deep right now. You know, it's just a little story. That's a little something. And what I want to bring back is we need to bring back the honor of what Christmas is about. Like, come on, parents. Where are the parents at? Come on, parents. You know I love you. You know I love you. But do your kids know more about the guy with the red suit than the story of Jesus? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Preach, pastor. I'm trying. Like, do they know the Christmas story? Do they know that the Christmas is not just about a Christmas list? Like, it's about what Jesus came to give us. It's about what he came, come on, somebody, to build into our lives. Come on, say amen. This is what came for us. And the Bible says worship was at the centerpiece right here. So they fell down, they worshiped. It says, and when they opened their treasuries, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So at the first Christmas, honor looked like worship, and honor looked like giving a gift to Jesus. It's powerful. This is what honor is. That, man, I'm going to honor you, God, with my worship, and I'm going to honor you with my offering. You know, when I became a pastor, my first year of pastoring now close to 15 years, I know you're thinking you look 15. Amen. Stress-free living. Try it. Amen. Try it. I'm 40 about to turn 41. Yo, pray for me. I feel great. I feel fantastic. It's the best. I'm encouraging myself. Help me. Anyway, so, but, you know, I learned this you heard it earlier, but the my first year of pastoring, the lowest giving month for the church, guess what month it is? Anybody want to take a wild guess why? Because, you know, I gotta buy this and I gotta buy that. Ain't nobody got time for Jesus. I gotta buy that and I gotta get him an iPad 40 and an iPhone 24 and I gotta get him a PlayStation 67 and I gotta get this and let me tell you something. I'm not hating all that, but am I telling you, have we maybe lost it or what it's really about, and we're so stressed out that we're moving Jesus out when he's supposed to be the centerpiece? Come on, somebody, of Christmas. You know, he's the top, and that's why we do the Christmas offering, and we're going to bless families, we're going to do all this stuff, and so we're like, we're going to redeem what is the lowest, we're going to make it the biggest generosity month. How many want to believe with me that December will be the biggest? Why? Because we honor King Jesus. Come on, somebody. Someone say, I honor King Jesus. I just like to play it this. Is Jesus on your Christmas list? You're like, no, we took him out. There's no honor. But there is no honor. We got to bring it back. So here's your first point. Write this down, because this. Trust me, I'm getting somewhere. Just track with me. We're on a journey, and I'm like your tour guide, and I'm showing you everything, and we won't get somewhere here. But point number one, write this down. Christmas is all about honoring who? Honoring who? Christ, right? Christmas is all about honoring Christ. It's all about honoring Christ. I cannot stress that enough. I'm trying to help you. I want to bring God's word into your life, into your home, into your family. But it's all about honoring Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 6, very common scripture during Christmas, but I want to shed some light to us. The Bible says this. It says, for unto us, what? I want to show you here that it says the child was born for us. Jesus was not born for God. He was born for us. Okay, it was to redeem us. The child came to forgive us. He came, let me personalize it, because some of you, I don't know where you're at, but I know where I came from. He came for me. Jesus was born for my mind battles. He was born to forgive me of my sins. He came to deliver me. He came to set me free. He came to help me break generational dysfunctions and strongholds in my family. He came, for unto me a child is born. So how can I not honor him on the month that's all about him coming for my life? For unto us a child is born. Just tell the person next to you, say, he came for you. Unto us a child is born. He says, for unto us a son is given. This is for us. It's the greatest gift you'll get this Christmas. It's when you find him. It says, and I like this next thing, it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. I just like that, especially, you know, in light of all the crazy stuff going on in our world. Stop looking for the government to save you. Stop looking for laws to try to say, now listen, don't get me wrong, whatever, we're going to pray for all that, but the Bible says the government's going to be on his shoulders. Amen. In other words, God's not looking to what's going on in politics to see if God can do something on earth. Come on, somebody. I should just encourage you right there. In other words, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not so concerned what's going on in the White House. I'm concerned with what is God doing through God's house and what is he going to do in your house. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Now pray for the White House. Pray for all that stuff. But salvation's not going to come from a donkey or an elephant. It's going to come from the Lamb of God who came to be the Savior of the world. Say amen. He sent Jesus. And he's in control. No matter how crazy it gets, he's in control. No matter what Twitter files come out, he's in control. Okay? Someone say he's in control. And it says the government will be on his shoulders. And watch this now. His name will be called, let's all say it together, nice and loud. Come on, let's confess God's word. Don't just hear me preach God's word. I want you to confess God's word. His name shall be called what? Wonderful. I know more of you can read than that. Here we go. He'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Your greatest gift this Christmas, listen to me, comes when you honor King Jesus. It's not found on a tree. Christmas tree is found on the tree where he died on. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift that you can find is in Jesus, in our hearts and in our lives. Now it's so important for us to understand, because now, you know, sometimes we think, no, my life would be better if I could just get an air fryer. I was looking for one on Cyber Monday. You get an air fryer, get your air fryer. You want to get your Gucci bag, get your Gucci bag. Go ahead. God bless you. You want to go. Do that. But let me tell you something. You can look really good on the outside and still be empty on the inside. Talk to me, somebody. And I will tell you this. You will miss the whole meaning of Christmas. You will miss the whole reason why Jesus, why came and God sent his son. And you will wonder, why is it that Christmas after Christmas, I get the gift physically I always wanted. The lights are up. The tree goes up. We all sing these songs, but I still feel empty on the inside. Why is it that I don't see the wonders? Why is it that I don't feel mighty? Why is it that I don't feel peace? Why is it? I'm going to tell you, because you're showing up to Christmas and you're missing the whole thing. It's about honoring King Jesus. Come on, somebody. This is what we're called. Because Christmas, I mean, you can't spell Christmas without Christ. Christmas. Christmas. And it's about bringing our attention to who he is. And you know this. All of you know, nowadays, you know, they don't want you to say Merry Christmas. You got to say season's greetings. Happy holidays. But on December 25th, everybody's celebrating. What day is that? Christmas, okay? You can't spell Christmas without Christ. It's about Jesus. Don't be ripping off our holiday. Come on, somebody. It's about Christ. And so this year, guess what? Christmas is on a Sunday. Yeah. You guys are clapping. That's awesome. A few years back when Christmas on Sunday, I had someone ask me in the lobby. They're like, hey, Pastor, are you gonna cancel church for Christmas? So they asked me. That's the wrong question to the right guy. You gonna cancel Christmas? I was like, like Scooby-Doo. Cancel Christmas? I might close the church. I was like, I'm so sorry Jesus messed up your Christmas. I was a little mean. I'm sorry. I was a little, sorry. I just filters off, you know what I mean? I'm like, cancel. I'm so sorry Jesus messed up your Christmas. I'm sorry that Jesus like messed up your Christmas morning. I'm a nice guy, really. Yeah. If you're here for the first time, I'm not mean. I'm just trying to help you. I'm like, no. Then the person doubled down. They double down. They go, well, Pastor, what if nobody shows up? They double down, like double stamp a double stamp. And I'm like, nobody shows up. Like I was going to go, oh my goodness. I was like, it's all good. I will preach to Pastor Marie, Judah, Faith, Zara, David, and they all going to get saved that morning. And I'm going to preach. But I'm going to tell you one thing is we are going to honor Christ during Christmas. And matter of fact, them kids, you ain't going to get no presents unless you show up to worship his presence and you show up to give him praise. Because guess what, buddy boy? Christmas is not about what you get. Christmas is about what we give him. Come on, somebody. Not about an iPad, not about your clothes, not about your lights, not about your eggnog. Christmas is about Jesus, and we all going to go to church. Come on, somebody. I told my kids, you ain't get no present, you don't go to church on Christmas morning. That's not mean. That's good parenting. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Because it's good for the kids. The kids think it's all about them anyway, you know? It's like, no. It's about Jesus. And I think as parents, listen to me, we have a wonderful opportunity this Christmas. Man, we have like a wonderful, where all the parents at? Come on, parents. We can teach our kids. Now, this isn't me just talking about pumping Christmas service. This is just me telling you about the preeminence of Christ. This is me talking to you about the principle of honor. Where we get an opportunity to tell our kids, it's about Jesus, kids. They're like, they're gonna look at you like, what do you mean it's not about my presence? What you gonna get me, Dad? What you gonna get me, Mom? I started putting, present bows on my son's light switch. I put one on his pillow. I put one on his clothes. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I like that one. That's called good parenting. Okay? I'm trying to help you. Put one on his toothbrush. You know what I'm saying? We have a wonderful opportunity this Christmas to say it's about even our services all day, morning and night, okay? And so I'm not like saying you have to be here, but the point is, what an opportunity we have to say what Christmas is really about. Come in your pajamas. I don't care. Go ahead. You know what I mean? But this is what Christmas is about. It's about honoring King Jesus. It's about, for unto us a son is given. For unto us a child is given. Come on, come on. And the government will be on his shoulders. His name shall be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We're going to honor King Jesus. We're going to honor King Jesus. We're going to honor King Jesus. We're going to put him first. And this is so valuable to us as a church. This is so valuable to us, especially during the season. Because watch this now. If the believers don't honor him, will the unbelievers honor him? If the church doesn't worship him, is the world supposed to worship him? If us who are born again don't honor the one who was born, the world ain't gonna honor him. So we get the opportunity to say, honor King Jesus. And let me just put some stress off someone right now. It don't matter if you don't buy that toy for your child. Don't put that stress off you. This ain't Whoville. You know? Another credit card maxed out. Yeah. You know, no, this ain't Whoville, man. Okay? Who cares? I'm honest, honestly. This, let me tell you something. Let me take that stress off you. Worship God. Worship God. Pray for them kids. Come on, somebody. Love on them kids. Come on, somebody. Bring Jesus into that home. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to be all right. They're going to be. Listen, I was raised broke. We were poor. Mom couldn't give us all that stuff. But, man, when they give you Jesus, that's the greatest thing we give our parents. Come on, someone clap right there like we actually believe that. Like we help someone get the stress off their life right now. Get it off your life. Get it off your life. Get it off your life. We got to be the people that bring honor. Now, the Christmas prophecy, I just want to cut, let me read this here, and I'll move on here, but the Christmas prophecy of Christmas didn't just begin this year or the last 100 years. The Christmas prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem was many thousands of years ago, but I want to show you in Micah that was written in 500 BC, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Watch what the Bible says here. It says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, he says, only a small village among all the people of Judah. He says, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in a distant past will come from you on my behalf. So everybody look at me. God is prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem that a savior would be born out of Bethlehem. It's a small town. Bethlehem would have been a little town that you wouldn't know anything about. Like no disrespect, but my son had a game in Grand Terrence. I didn't even know there was a Grand Terrence. Okay? There was a city called Grand Terrence. I know somebody just figured that out right now. I'm like, where is this? Am I going to another state? No, it's right over here, past, you know, after 15 or the 81. And so, anyway, it's like a little city you wouldn't even know about, just a little city. And it's Bethlehem. And he says, out of Bethlehem would come a Savior. Well, 700 years later, Matthew would write that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And he would come out of Bethlehem, and the precise place that God prophesied is where Jesus came. And what I'm just trying to tell you is that Christmas is no coincidence. God sent his son for such a time to meet the needs that we have and the needs that we need before God. Just tell your neighbor, you need Jesus. Come on, tell him, say, you need Jesus. And we need this in our life. And so the Bible talks about how he was prophesied, and he was the centerpiece, and he was honored. However, there was a time where Jesus wasn't honored. And don't miss this part, okay? All that to get to this part of the message. There was a time where Jesus wasn't honored. We just having Bible study this morning. We just jumping in the scriptures. We just talking. But there was a time where he wasn't honored. I want to show you this because I want you to see the corresponding result when he's dishonored. In Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, the Bible says, then he went out from there, and there came to him in his own, so Jesus, Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, watch this. It says, then he went out from there and he came to his own country. Where'd he go to? His own country, right? So he went to his hometown. He had just come out of Capernaum, which is right by the Sea of Galilee. Still today, you can go visit Capernaum, Bethlehem. These are actually physical places that still exist. And he out of Capernaum, and he went to his own town, Bethlehem. Now he's a little older. He's not a baby anymore. And it says, the disciples followed him, and when on the Sabbath he had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Verse 2, it says, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get all these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? So like, wow, Jesus has been doing all these miracles, been doing some amazing things. But watch the next verse in verse 3. Watch what the Bible says. It says, then someone spoke up and said this. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? I'm sorry, the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. So what happened was, Jesus comes, and they're like, isn't that, man, that's Chewy. You know, I got a chair in my living room that he built. That's just Jesus. Him and his dad, Joseph, you know, obviously his stepdad, Joseph, helped build, you know, my kitchen table. They're like, that's just Jesus. I mean, who does he think he is? And they treated him as common. They treated him as just another day with Jesus. It's just another Christmas. It's just another sermon by Pastor Josiah about Christmas. It's just another season. And they dishonored him. And I want you to see what Jesus says in verse 4. He says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and his own house. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, the hardest place to get respect is at home. And all the men said, come on, fellas, don't leave me hanging, amen. You know, the hardest place to get respect, he's like, when you go home, they're like, that's just you. So Jesus said, when he goes back to his hometown, they dishonor him. They're like, oh, it's just you, Jesus. This is dishonor. Remember I told you, what is dishonor? Dishonor doesn't mean to disrespect. Dishonor means to treat as ordinary. That's dishonor. And the Bible says in verse 5, watch this. This is the whole message right here. Honoring King Jesus. Don't miss this part. This part right here is the key to accessing the breakthrough and the miracle and the power of what Christmas came to be in your life. Verse 5 says this. The scripture says, now he could do no mighty work there except that he lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Don't miss this. Because there was no honor for Jesus, the Bible says Jesus could do no mighty work. In other words, the level of mighty work is connected to the level of your honor on him. Could it be that Christmas after Christmas, we don't see a mighty work in our lives because we lack the honor to King Jesus? Oh my God, oh my God. This is a key, it's a key, it's a key, it's a key. Because the Bible didn't say that he wouldn't do mighty work. The Bible says he couldn't do a mighty work. In other words, it tied God's own hand. Why? Because God will not move where he's not honored. Yes. I'm trying to give you a key. He says he couldn't. Could it be? Here, point number two, write this down. Let me just give you the second point. Write this down. Where there is no honor, there is no miracle. There's no mighty work. And this month, we get an opportunity every Christmas to honor King Jesus. How? In our worship. How? In our actions. How? In our giving. How? In who we are. We put him at the highest place. But we need to know where there is no honor, there is no mighty work. But we want to honor him. Why? Because I want God to do a mighty work in my life. Could it be that maybe there's no mighty work in your home because there's no mighty honor to God? Maybe this is what happens in marriages. I mean, the Bible says, you know, husbands, honor your wives. Honor your wife as you know, you honor him as the weaker vessel. We got to honor. Honor, again, doesn't mean you don't cut. I don't cuss her out. You know, I'm not going around. No, that's not dishonor. Dishonor is to treat each other as ordinary. This is why a marriage is real healthy when you first start dating. You're like, you hang up. No, you hang up. This ain't a marriage sermon. You know, you're like, I just want to hear you breathe. Whatever, dude. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, he gets sick. You're like, want me to get you some medicine and some tissue? I'll rub your feet. I mean, you know, when you're first like engaged and, you know, and then now he's sick. You're like, stop it. I'm trying to sleep. Stop coughing. You know, it's like, and you wonder why the love fizzles out, because you treat each other as common. There's no honor. It's dishonor. And the same thing funnels into our relationship with God, that we should go, it's just another Sunday. It's just another message. It's just another offering. It's just another song. You know, it's just another, pastor's going to come and give us a few points, and we're going to clap, and we're going to go home. And ah, it's just, but here's the thing, where there is no honor, there's no mighty work. And I don't know about you, but I want God to do a mighty work in my life. Do you want God to do a mighty work in your marriage, a mighty work in your kids, a mighty work in your finances, a mighty work in your mind, a mighty work in your heart, a mighty work in our church? Then we got to bring honor back to the King of Kings. Come on, give God a praise this morning if you want to honor him. The aroma of honor, the principle of honor. This is the aroma of heaven. It honors King Jesus. It honors God. And we bring that aroma into earth. That is the aroma of heaven, where God moves. You bring it into your home. You bring it into your life. Well, you get a choice to say, will I honor God or will I not honor him? Will I honor him? Because where there was no mighty work, because there was no honor. Let me bring the piano player up here as I come to a close here. But as he came to his house, the Bible says there was no honor there. And what we need to realize is we need to redeem what honor is. So what is, conversely, what is honor? Honor, conversely, so dishonor is to treat as ordinary, but dishonor is to treat as ordinary, but honor is, here's the definition of honor. It means to value. It means to respect. It means to highly esteem. It means to treat as precious. It means to give worth. It means to give value. That I esteem it. I value it. I put it at the highest place, and I give it where it needs to be. Why? Because I want to honor what God has for my life. This is something. It's not just, watch me now, it's not just something we do. It's who we are. Amen. Well, Pastor, how can I be a person of honor when I feel the world dishonors? You just honor God. Honor God at your workplace if they don't honor God. Honor God in your home even if other people don't honor God. You honor God even if your spouse don't honor God. You honor God. Why? Because I'm going to serve who God is. You know, now again, don't be obnoxious. Don't be like at work tomorrow, be like, Merry Christ, miss. Like, hey, chill, you know what I mean? Like, don't be obnoxious, you know what I mean? Like, but just be like, Christmas. Personal pet peeve, don't do Xmas. Stop doing that. Yeah. Xmas. Yeah. At least put C-mas, you know? Put a C, Christ, you know, like nothing Xmas. No, X, don't take Christ out, put him in. Yeah. Put him in, come on somebody, put him in. Why? Because we're honoring King Jesus. I pray that this Christmas, and again, somewhere in your home, especially if you have kids, would you get a nativity scene? I'm pastoring you, okay? I'm not saying you better. Or, Pastor said I better. No. Print one out if you have to, and color it with your kids.
If you need, we'll print it out of the church if you want. You know what I mean? It's just teach your kids about the nativity scene. Please, please. Okay, I want to go on record. Yeah, you know, St. Nick, the whole folklore of him is that he was a priest who gave out presents to kids, and that's fantastic, and go ahead. But this Christmas, are you going to wait in a two-hour line to take a picture with the guy in a red suit? Get your kids all dressed up, put a big old photo, big old picture in your living room. And you're like, but I don't know, man, church on Sunday, you know, man, Christmas, you know, I know kids. I ain't going to wait in no line. It's going to be packed, but let's not go to church. You waited 2 hours for a photo with a red suit guy, but you mad because you had to find a parking for church. Come on, somebody. Come on. Woo, I feel like I'm sorry. You know I love you. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, Pastor loves us. He loves us, okay? I wore my Air Force Ones. I ain't wearing boots. I'm not stepping on you, okay? Come on. Stepping on some toes this morning, you know? I just want to honor. We have to redeem this church. Because what happens is the pendulum sways. We wonder, why is there a generation of kids rising up that don't know God? Why is there a generation that is getting further from God? It's because us who are the believers, we're putting preeminence on other things, value, and we're distracted. It's about Jesus. I said it's about Jesus. I said it's about Jesus. Come on, I feel the presence of God in this room right now. I feel the presence of God in this room. I feel the presence of God. I got to say this because I always get people like, well, this pastor, do you have a Christmas tree in your house? Yeah, I got a Christmas tree in my house. Don't trip, you know? It's a tree. It's fine. Does he put lights up? Yeah, I put lights up. It's fine. Relax. It's okay. You know? People start tripping out. You're like, what's going on here, you know? Are you one of those guys? No, we're going to have a good time. But Jesus is first. Come on. I said Jesus is first. He's first. He is priority. You honor God. And parents, if maybe your kids are older and you feel you might have got it wrong, God gives you a second chance called grandkids. Come on, grandparents. Grandkids. That's your second chance. Your kids were a trial. Sorry. Did a few things, but grandkids, I'm going right over here, you know? So let's go disciple them grandkids. Pull out, go right now and order yourself the greatest story ever told and say, before we open presents, guys, we're going to read the real Christmas story. And we're going to bring a call back to orthodoxy, proper theology. This is how we redeem a nation. Again, don't get me wrong, we pray for, you know, faith-based legislation. But you don't redeem a nation trying to, you know, wrestle with crocodiles in water. You redeem a nation by redeeming homes. If you win your home for Christ, you disciple your children for God. You build your marriage on the principles of God. Oh, don't you worry. The light shines bright in dark places. And there will be no doubt on who is God. There'll be no doubt on who is the Lord, because fire will come from heaven, because light will shine from your life. Why? Because God will send his angels, and you don't have to fight the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. I'm just going to honor God. I'm going to receive who he is. I'm going to walk in his power. I'm going to have his authority. I'm going to have his spirit. I'm going to honor King Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the hope. He is the message of peace, and the government will be on his shoulder. Talk to me, somebody. What we need is a strong church. Come on now. And this will change our lives.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.